How you doing? My name is Broke. I'm broke as fuck.
What's that?
Am I supposed to name the song? Who sings this? It sounds very old school.
Not old school, bitch.
I don't know if any old school artists. Like Smokey Robinson or something.
It's Charlie Wilson, girl.
He is old.
Girl. I forget. You like young niggas, I like old niggas. So we got a difference in music here.
What this pussy, 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 what this pussy. She's a motherfucking international sensation.
I was watching this show on Netflix called Explain. It's like, it's my, you know, my daily documentary episode I see. So talking about the female orgasm on here. And bitch, I did not know this. Well, I knew that females had a hard time orgasming. Well, however you put it with it. Well, creating orgasm for themselves. But I did not know that females actually had a National Clitoris Awareness Week. I'm like, yes, girl. Y'all better let the girls know that you must work this for me to create an orgasm, okay? Nigga, you just can't be pounding it out. No, that's not how we receive our pleasure.
Okay.
Just because y'all want to stick and run and nut does not mean that I'm satisfied over here. And that works for females and men. Look.
Wow. They literally have a celebration for everything. So that's awesome.
Girl, look. I need a celebration for my own day. Mine's my birthday, so I'm waiting on that to come soon.
All right, guys. So National Power Bottom Week. We're trying to get that for Deshaun.
No. National Bottomist Week. So, Jermise, when are we getting this started? Yes. National Bottomist Month. Yes. Come on. We want a whole month.
Oh, my God. Speaking of which, so yesterday I was, it was downtown LA Pride, apparently.
Yes. All right.
I feel like LA... First of all, has a pride every month, but I mean,
that means you feel gay and proud every day in the city.
I mean, yeah, it's a lot. It's a huge population of gays here in LA. I noticed, so I'm there, and like, it was interesting because being sexualized online and being sexualized in person are two totally different experiences.
I'd rather be sexualized online than in person, because girl, I same want to fight.
Same, because I always tell people I'm only a whore online. Okay,
like, yes. That's my
look. Yeah, people are typically shocked by my prudeness and how boring I am in real life because they have this online perception of me. Mm-hmm. And I was out, and some guy was like, I wasn't drinking. Like, I haven't been drinking for a while, actually. He was like, why are you so boring? Like, you can't be online being so racy. And then in person, I was like, I'm only a whore online. So anyways, I'm there.
Or just maybe you just didn't get me to that point.
No, he's hot. He was hot.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind, girl. Maybe. Just, oh, you know what? I think what you got is the small dick senses. So maybe you just smell.
Oh, my God.
Maybe that's why. Your senses got turned off, girl. I couldn't talk to you because I felt like you wouldn't be able to reach the spots I need you to reach. So.
Wow. It's like Gator, but instead it's for the male anatomy. Gotcha. Do you have that? Can you sense that?
I do not. Because actually, I was watching The Breakfast Club, and Issa Rae and Angela Rye were talking about, I guess as females, they have a big dick radar on guys. I'm like, girl, I wish I had that because I sure don't have it. Saying, first off, I kind of don't want to have it because, again, I probably would be probably
the open.
Very open. But I'm trying to be on my making good nowadays, trying to find my one and get my weight on. But again, oh, so hard, but yet still trying. And
I mean, you're a sizes though.
You said what?
You're a sizes. We talk about
this.
Like,
I was just, oh, that's so crazy. I was just talking to Johnny about this because I was asking him, like, you know, is it wrong that I feel that? Because again, with me understanding and knowing my sexual drive and my sexual being, is it bad that for me to whoever I wind up with in the future, they either have to, one, fit the height requirement, or two, they have to be explorative when it comes down to sex. And by explorative, I mean you have to be willing to like try things as far as toys, bringing people to the bedroom or different avenues, well, like different venues.
Okay.
Is that a wrong perspective to have?
No, I mean, I think that there's no rules when it comes to sex, so whatever pleases you. Basically, guys, Dijon is a sizist, but if you have a little dick and you're open to playing with toys,
I am then not, like, and I will give it up to this dude. Like, and again, I met him in DC, but he has definitely been the best I've ever had. And again, I still have more to explore.
Oh my God.
At 26, I still have more to explore, but he is the best. And again, it wasn't like even just. Like, just, again, because of the size. Because, again, he was average. But just the way...
Are you actually wanting me to put this on the episode? Just because like, you're very... Do you want to go ahead and give us his Instagram name, his handle, where we can reach him?
No, again, because...
We want to give him a shout-out.
Shout-outs to
you for having bomb dick, sir. Underscore.
Yeah, but, no, again, because, look, girls need to know their body. And girls out here just having bad sex and not saying shit. Look...
Realize you're very passionate, sex,
baby, to take note. And baby, when he got up in here, I took note. So I have these occasions every time. But not like just the way, because I felt like, again, with him, I felt like a female, just the way the walls were loosened getting moist. I'm like, oh my God, just the way your stroke and my body is like, this is like, the circle of life. This is like what's it called? The fountain of youth is just flowing all through you. I had to give it to him. You are the true goat. Boy, wow. I tell you, just it was magic. And I feel like, again, this is not just to speak crazy, but I feel like people know what I'm talking about. When you find that one, you just got to give them that.
Give him his props.
Of Nene, I have to give accolades what accolades are due, baby. And he surely did. I'm sorry, I just further explore.
No, it's okay. You're mesmerized. I get it. You're very passionate about this.
Look, we went three times back to back, and I'm like,
oh my God.
And you did not stop flowing. I'm like, boy, you better keep the juices flowing like this. Girl, I was amazed with myself. I'm like, boy, I knew it was good, but I did not know it could get like that.
Oh my God. I did not take this conversation. Okay.
Look, again, this is just part of my sex. This is my bottomless voyage for the day.
Yes. Okay, awesome. So that was Dijon's. I feel like we're going to give a segment based off of just sex.
You're very passionate about it. This is what we need to do one day. Because I used to be obsessed with Sue back in the day. And I don't know if you guys know who Sue is. But Sue used to come on late at night. She was the sex therapist. And again, she was this bitch was had to be at least 70, and bitch was giving sex advice online on TV, and the girl would call in, and she was my true Shiro.
Wow, that is beautiful. That is beautiful. Okay, so we're gonna implement that, guys. How about we get a response from you if you like Dijon's sex, you know, therapy, his sex. Explorations.
I love it. Again, I'm
sure you do. I called you at like
my calling.
I called you before 8 one morning, and somehow we ended up talking about sex. And I'm like, dude, it's so early. Like, I can't. I haven't even had coffee. Like, this is too early for this.
Because sex is a beautiful thing to talk about. Again, I told you, girl. Look, in this taboo day and age, why are we not having these conversations? Look, Donald Trump out here making a fool of us, girl. Why can't we talk about sex like it's 1 + 1 = 2?
You are just turning it today. All right, guys. Welcome to Politically Uncensored with me, Zakori Uncensored, my apparent problematic fave.
Not problematic, just an open-minded individual at times.
Spicy _ mustard.
What's up?
And apparently he's extra spicy in the bedroom. But
I won't say all that. I'm just regular, degular, schmegular.
Not with those fountain, the fountain of youth you're pouring out of your ass. That sounds just wow.
Look, we just need to do a whole sex talk one day. Just sex. I think that'd be a great episode. But we're here.
Over sex right now. I'm so over sex. Well, not that I'm having it. I don't. But Okay, yeah, we'll talk about this later. I'm not getting into my personal endeavors. So we're going to start off this week's episode by bringing back your segment for Black Boy Joy, which is like,
yes,
Black Boy Joy. So I want to give a shout out to the official Harris twins, who are very close friends of ours, and just on their feature in Voyage LA magazine, which is like really, really cool to be published and have an interview. So they basically are on there talking about their journey to becoming twinfluencers, which is so cool. I think I love that. I love like the whole like twinfluencer thing. Influencer, twin influencers. Basically their journey, how they started and things that keep them motivated and, you know, things that really inspire them. So it's a really, really good interview. A couple of questions. So you guys should definitely check it out. Again, that's Voyage LA. Really, really, really good interview. So basically,
I loved it all.
I love it.
Yeah, because it was good. Really, I love seeing them just, again, like I said, we've known them since childhood days, just to see how they're out here flourishing. Like, it really is, again, to their tons of followers, they already inspired them enough, but just to even just be their friends and just to see how they aren't letting anything hold them back. They're just going out there and just spreading their wings. It really does just aspect our own friend circle. It does give us inspiration, just like, hey, if we really go out there and believe in ourselves, it's always possible, man. Just because where there is a will, ha, 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 my God, there is a way.
Yeah, really, really dope. I was just tweeting. Like, I've been so big on Twitter lately. But anyways, it was saying, like, I only want to be around people who bring out the best in me and influence me. And I find that, like, the people I'm around these days are all, like, super creative. They're super, like, amazing, awesome individuals. And they truly inspire me. Like, I actually just went to brunch this weekend. And I was doing, like I said, the downtown LA Pride event. And it was just, like, a bunch of Black male gay creatives. And I was just, like, I'm obsessed. Like, I'm obsessed. So, like, my thing.
Where was my invite?
Well, you know, we'll see you in a few weeks, actually, when you come to L.A., which is going to be your first trip to L.A. It's going to be exciting. Am I excited to see me? I don't know. Yeah, listen, that's my question. I'm not going to, you know, believe it until I see you. Once you pull up in the Uber, because I'm not picking you up from the airport, I guess I'll see then.
Okay.
So, awesome.
Just when you hear blah, 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 outside your door, just know.
Oh, wow. The ghetto. She's arrived. Okay, but also, I know with Black Boy Joy segment, you wanted to give a special shout out to another individual.
To a fuck nigga that's finally done right. You know, I have to, because again, you just gotta love fuck niggas at points and times in life, because they oftentimes can do right. So my Black Boy Joy shout out goes to Clifford T.I. Harris. And, you know, I have to give it to him because, again, me being a person who is passionate about the youth and them, you know, flourishing their wings, Mr. T.I., let me get some backstory. So a student back in a Florida high school just recently was, disrespected by a dirty old lunch lady who threw away her lunch because she didn't have 15 cents to finish paying for her lunch. Now, i.e., that's 15 pennies, 3 nickels, a dime, and a nickel, and however else you decide to add that up, which, again, is not much fun. Clifford T.I. Harris, you know, in the midst of this woman's ignorance, said, you know what? Because you a simple bitch, I'm going to level up for you this young lady's lunch for our entire year. So you know what, Clipper Harris, though you may not do wrong by Tiny and her surgically enhanced eyes, you can do right by the kids. And you know, for that, I have to give it to you. Because again,
why do you have to, first of all, why do you have to throw shots at Tiny? What did Tiny have to do with this? You have to throw your shade. Cynthia, throw your little shade, Cynthia. No.
I just can't help it, okay? It just naturally comes out. It wasn't intentional. It just happened to fall into the realm.
So shout out to T.I. for that, because that was a ridiculous story. Like, to be honest, over 15 cents. My question is, did the child not eat the entire day because of 15 cents? And
my girl, 15 cents, what is that? Girl, you could have drug 15 cents out of your pocket and gave that poor baby. Or just said, girl, go on ahead, girl. I know 15 cents ain't shit. And look, And like you're in, like they were in a lower income part of Florida anyway. So it's like, again, you know, some of these kids out here don't even have meals to go back home and eat. So for you to have a child coming here, trying to get education, trying to get a piece of a food in their belly, and for you to go throw the whole meal away.
Like in front of her face?
It's like, girl.
I just picture me being back in school. Like, I would have boxed her. But my thing is like, like, bitch, what?
That's what I was thinking, but I didn't want to go the violent route. But I'm like,
well, I don't know what grade this is either. What grade is this? That's horrible.
Hold on. I have to go back and see. But I'm like, just, I really, now I understand. Because, again, the reason why I can never be a teacher is I always say, because, you know, these kids out here got too much mouth for me. But when a bitch don't wear my lunch over 15 cents short, girl, I'd be upset too. Girl, I'm hungry, man.
Shout out to all the educators, because I follow a lot of educators, and they are, like, school just started back. I think it was, like, the first day today.
Shout out to Johnny out there. Educating.
So, like, that's dope. Like, I shout out to y'all. I couldn't do it. Children are far too vocal, and they're explorative, and they're like, you know, they are it's too much for me. But that's crazy. Shout out to T.I. for that. That's really, really awesome. So I'm not gonna say all you said, you know, about him being a fuck nigga and all that, because I do think that, you know,
well, he is.
Yeah, I mean, he is. But when it comes to being,
because he's doing the grand hustle now, don't mean he out here fully giving up that fuck nigga life.
I mean, he's not, but I believe fuck niggas do what you allow them to do. So at some point, it's like, tiny sis.
Come on, say that again.
Tiny sis, you know? But that's for another day, a whole nother topic. So that is, I'm going to wrap our Black Boy Joy segment. Shout outs to all the Black boys doing amazing things. And I mean, Black girl magic, whatever girls are doing them. But Black people in general for flourishing.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to branch off into my hot topic, which is, speaking of Black Boy Joy or Black Girl Magic, we're going to go ahead and give our Black Girl Magic also to Omarosa, who is...
Girl, is she really getting magic? Oh, girl.
Oh, my gosh.
More like swampness monster alert.
Listen, Omarosa has busted back onto the scene. I know, like, she never left, you know? She was gone for a minute. Now she's back with a jump off. She is coming back better than ever. Because basically, I mean, for you, those of you who don't know, Omarosa started off on The Apprentice, I think, and she didn't work for Donald Trump's campaign when he was running, and now she's also working with him in what the fuck is it called? Currently in his cabinet, and like his basically.
Yeah.
But she's working more so on, like, I think when it comes to like the Black culture. That part of just like trying to make sure that like she's our voice, apparently, from what I understand. But she's recently,
so she says,
recently, I guess she was let go and has been like interviewing and going off about all the things she knows, the secrets from the White House, and how she's recorded, has so many recordings of things that went on in the White House. And now she's going to expose them in her new book, Unhinged, which I really am considering reading. Honestly, because I do think that I really am interested. Like, I think that what she has to say is worth hearing personally. And I've watched a few of her interviews. I sent you a few, basically her talking about her stance and everything. And I wanted to know what you thought about like her perspective and like her point of view, being someone who was in the cabinet with Donald Trump and now is no longer working for him. Like, are you interested to see what she has to say?
Oof. Well, I'm conflicted because, you know, part of me, you know, hearing it from your perspective, you know, I do want to recognize and give Omarosa her props for having the highest rank she had in the cabinet and being a Black woman. It says much just as far as like, as a Black community, our growth into like the possibilities that we can achieve out here in America 2018 going forth. But however, due to her actions through previous engagements, I still think she's full of shit.
Okay. And rightfully so.
And again, like, don't get me wrong, based on the interviews that you sent me, you know, I will say that, you know, her interview with the young white lady. It was rather entertaining just because the fact that she was getting her together the whole time throughout her whole interview process, I found to be quite entertaining. But however, my thing is with Omarosa is that, you know, though she is very tactful, though she is a woman with poise, and I'll even give her the fact that she does have a slight bit of good sense, she does not always use that in a favor for her people, use it in a favor of her best interest. And now, but don't try to come toward a community to have your back. Oh, now when you want to have us around, no, girl, don't work like that.
I disagree in the sense of, like, I mean, yeah, there are certain things that qualities I do find very admirable about her. After watching her interviews, I will say that all of the things she was saying were very believable to me. I could totally understand, like, the spin on it and where she's coming from. However, I do think that it's up to you as a person to decide if you believe her or not. And I will say that I'm not 100% sold, and know if I find her, you know, where she is in her stance, genuine, but I do think it's believable. And I'm like, oh, I mean, whoever did that, she's very smart. She's very witty. She's very wordsy. I think she's very tactful, like you said. And as a Black woman, is it weird that I find so much admiration in, like, who she is, and like, the fact that she is villainized so much and she still stands her ground? Like, I am a huge feminist, and especially
but
as a Black
you
woman.
Also like villains, though.
I do.
I've always been
I don't mind.
From what's her name? Evelyn, big forehead ass. To who else did you like, girl?
I used to like Natalie Nunn on Backers Club.
Yes.
I used to love her.
Big chin. You always like girls with big things, big chins, big forehead.
I used to love Kristen Cavallari on The Hills. Like, I've always liked girls that were not, I'm not going to say the villain. I think they're made out to be the villain. But I have I admire like women that are strong and that are very, very direct, that are not afraid. Like, I think women always feel as though, and I hate the phrase of, like, a real woman is this one. Girls like, a real woman would stand by her man. A real, like, that's some bullshit. What do you mean a real woman? Like, I feel like women can be multidimensional, and you being submissive to men does not make you a real woman. So I do think that, like, that's the narrative I don't like. I love the fact that Omarosa is not afraid. She's very, very fearless. And I think that that's something that's admirable as a Black woman. Well, also, yeah. I think that we're not giving her credit for being able to be in that position. As much as we are bashing her, plenty of people given the opportunity would not take it, not only because they don't support Donald Trump, because they would be afraid. Imagine being in her position.
But see, is it being afraid?
It is.
I don't think it is being afraid.
I think it is.
I think it's just people don't want to be put in a circumstance where they could lose their job because they're going to go the fuck in on him. That's what it is.
I mean, to a certain extent, but it's like,
the fool that wanted to put herself in a predicament.
I think that at the end of the day, when you talk about personal gain, yes, I think a lot of her positions where she were, it was a personal gain, but I don't think that's always bad. Let's be clear. I don't think it's like rah-rah for the culture, everything I do. There's plenty of people who do what they do for personal gain. There's plenty of entertainers. There's plenty of musicians. You know, so it's like, I get that, but also, imagine being in her shoes, being in the White House and being around nothing but white men in this fucking cabinet. Like, could you imagine her mindset? And the fact that she did these recordings, it shows that she was not stupid, because she never really trusted them fully. And imagine, like, I think the psyche behind, like, I'm trying to put myself in her shoes, like, I just couldn't imagine. And I think that a lot of people, given the opportunity, would still not do that. So I think that, like, there's something to be said about the fact that she was in this position. She clearly does know things that we don't know. So I do think what she has to say is worth hearing. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm not saying I'm like Team Omarosa, like, go for it. Like, but I do think it's worth hearing. I think that she is someone who has stood in a place that a lot of Black people would not stand. Not only because they don't like Donald Trump, but because of, like, it just being extremely intimidating.
Okay, well, I'm gonna challenge you to this. Well, look, what if after you read the book, you hear what she gotta say, and it still sounds like bullshit, then what?
Again, I'm not trying to be Team Omarosa. I'm not about to start her fan club or anything like that. But I will say the interviews enticed me enough to be like, wow, I'm interested. I'm intrigued by more. And I do think that, like you said, like, it's just something worth hearing, because she actually was there.
But, and you know, my thing.
The only thing I think is bullshit about her is her stance and her now changing her perspective on Donald Trump. Now he's a racist.
I think that's the issue with me, is that, like, you know, Omarosa, I get that, you know, if the man just did you wrong, say that. Use that as your bandwagon for promoting your book. Don't pull in, because, again, which, and again, don't get me wrong, girl, I understand it's business, I understand it's marketing, I understand it's advertising, because again, that's going to be your best bet to try to sell a book by saying, oh, well, Donald Trump has been said the N-word. Girl, we all know that crack of the
N-word. Oh my gosh.
That bullshit too. I did not mean to say that.
No, go for it. Go for it. Let it out, sis. Put it all in the burn book. Yes,
but girl, we not stupid. We know you're trying to use that to try to reel in the ignorant bigots that of black people that voted for Donald Trump. Say, oh yeah, girl. He really don't like us, girl. The ones that didn't vote for him, we all know that already, girl. That this is nothing new.
Listening to her interview, she did say that at the end of the day, she can admit that she did make mistakes and bad judgment. And again, like, that's not any, she's admitting that. I think the only thing that's bullshit is her wording of now, how all of a sudden she is like all for the community and it was always for that. But I do think the facts, the recordings, everything, a lot of her information, I think is accurate. And I'm interested in that. That's all.
Well, girl, when you read it, how about
you don't have to like the messenger to like the message. You don't have to like the messenger to believe the message. Girl.
Because the messenger needs to be somebody I can trust the message from. That's very, like, because again, that's like, what's the boy the choir wolf? Am I supposed to trust him as a messenger after he done lied to me time and time and time again?
I mean, y'all still buying Lauryn Hill concert tickets. And
I would never buy a Lauryn Hill concert ticket. I would just put that out on repeat. And never think about going to her concert, girl. Because she will not have me sitting there waiting a whole hour and a half to 2 hours for her to get on stage.
Again, just like the last episode, when someone showed you who they are, believe them. Okay? Lauryn Hill is not going to start being on top of
y'all. She was 5 years ago, so I believed her then, and I'm going to believe her now.
That's interesting. That's all. I just thought it was interesting. I thought the interviews were really great. I think that she is very, very fearless, and I think she's badass as fuck. But yeah, that's just it. You know, just certain qualities.
Wait, she's fearless, a badass, but yet just a contradiction of a bitch. That's what she is.
All right. We'll move on then. Clearly, there's no changing you in your stance. So, okay.
But her hair look good though. Come on, fresh perm, set, roller
set. All right. So next, I am super excited about this next hot topic, because I don't know about you, but like, I grew up loving the show, and to hear that it's coming back, I'm so excited about it. So
I didn't get into what chapter you did, but yeah,
The Hills, which is like,
yes,
it was one of my favorite reality shows. It premiered on MTV. It was just like everything to me. I used to love The Hills. It actually was like one of my, like, now living in LA, I can literally like reflect back on like me just like wanting to be in LA from watching The Hills. Like, I used to be obsessed with Lauren Conrad. Yeah, because like, it's really weird. I've always been like super visual, but it's like, I may have been extra with it, but I always imagine like me like at this coffee shop in LA, right? Just like my younger self, I was like middle school, high school. And I had on like this flannel button down, and I used to be obsessed with wearing beanies, like in high school, like beanies. So I had like this beanie on and like these Ray-Bans.
The white boy style. How does it pull it back?
Not the bang, but yes.
The bang.
So the beanie, like the oversized beanie, the Ray-Bans, the like flannel, like it was just so LA to me. So when I reflect back now, yes, it's like The Hills was just like goals for a while. Like, I used to love it.
Look, that was that look back when LC was committed to the project. She was that girl. She was that it girl. Like, LC, her and Whitney were my two favorites.
I used to love Lauren Conrad. Like, she was like, and that's my introduction to Brody, who was just a very good looking, sexy ass.
What?
Brody was always sexy.
No. And like, Justin Bobby was fucking sexy. Now, that is a white boy who can, you know what?
We just talked about liking problematic qualities in the individual.
Look, and he's that one that I was, the problematic in him was just so sexy that it's like, smack him, but then be like Issa and just let him just
eat your box
and say, oh, it's okay, babe.
No, he is so, oh, he's such an asshole. I used to hate him.
But you can't say it's not sexy.
No, I think that, I mean, like, I could see it for someone, but Brody was definitely more my speed. I think he was just so, he was sexy.
Brody was a Lawrence type of a fuck nigga. He the nice fuck nigga, the worst kind in the worst of times.
Oh my gosh.
He the kind of fuck nigga that didn't know he was a fuck nigga.
I like Brody. That's the kind of nigga Brody. And was. I like Adriana too.
she was cool, but again, she wasn't like that girl for me. I'd rather see Heidi, and though again, she had a problematic nigga her own, Spencer. But
a problematic,
I love that couple.
Nigga of her own. No, well, so Lauren was my favorite, but then I will admit that like towards the end of the series, when we were introduced to Kristen again, I fell in love with Kristen Cavallari. Like I was like obsessed with her. And again, she was the villain. So, I mean, but I liked her because she was so badass. She was like that girl that was like a dude. Like she was super like crass, potty mouth. She was all about like being sexually fluid and not censoring herself or tailing herself to social normalcies. Like I was so—
Is that how she was back then?
Yeah, she was like that. The bitch. Like when she came back on the show, she was the bitch. Her and Lauren didn't like each other. And I think she was one of the reasons Lauren ended up leaving the show.
Oh, well, I guess that's, I'm about to say, well, maybe that's the reason why Lauren ain't come back, but no.
Yeah, and she stole Lauren's nigga. So it was just like, yes, I live for you. I live for you, Kristen. So.
But now what is she doing with Uncommon James?
You know what? See, her new reality show on E!, Very Cavallari, I tried to watch it.
Yeah.
It was, like, I like her. But I think I like more so the character she played on The Hills. To know that, like, that's not really her. I'm
because,
like...
Yeah, because, like, she's very different.
She's
now.
Very well, sweet.
She has grown.
She's very nice.
She has grown
She's
up.
Sweet.
But then also,
she's very country.
But also, her dude is more of what you described her to be now, because he is a very mean ass. Like,
yeah.
Again, problematic characteristics I find to be sexy about him. But it's like just that that dude is just like... Again, I feel like I'm saying nigga a lot.
Yeah,
but
no.
That dude is just very... Just, you know... Has that very nonchalant.
I mean, he's stubborn.
I don't give a fuck personality. I don't know why people are attracted to that, but it's just it's very common.
I mean, like women like stubborn ass niggas. They be like, "Ooh, he a man. He hold his own. He's a man that told you know." And that, like, don't get me started. I've been told recently that I have an issue with guys trying to dominate me. Like a lot of people say, like they were like
yes, domination.
Yeah, they were like they don't like. They can tell I don't like dominant men, or I don't like being dominated, and I don't like guys who are overly masculine and guys who are. And I'm like, this is all Ooh, true, but I don't.
That's
I didn't
a
know
good discussion for us in the future.
Yeah, I didn't know it was like psychological though. But I'm like, you know, I don't like. You know, I'm a very dominant personality myself, so I don't really like someone trying to. Yeah,
see, that's so weird to say that because again, me and I'm not gonna put him out there like that. But me and another friend, we're just talking, and you know, we're just saying like how you know. For us, and again, maybe it's because we're on different spectrums from you,
right?
But we say that we like to, like, whenever we find ourselves in relationships, we find ourselves very submissive to the other person.
Yeah, fuck that.
And it gets just unnatural way.
No. That's bullshit.
Not no.
Yeah, no.
But again, but also, again, I've also seen that the narrative of submissive is also a little bit misconstrued. Because again, not to say like I'm the submissive type as well, like, oh, you're going to run over me. But as far as like, no, I just want someone who can, like, again, because, again, all everybody that I've always dated, they've always had more of a protective nature over me. So I guess maybe that's what I'm drawn to. I don't know. Saying it out loud, it sounds weird to say, but every ex that I've always had, they've always just been, I guess they thought they could be my bodyguard. And I'm like, well, people, I don't need to do that. But, again, I find it very admirable.
Ooh, you're a kept woman. Like that.
Well, you know, you know, I like to be.
It must be that fountain of youth. Anyway.
Yes, come on. That fountain of youth, keep them protected.
I feel like we're definitely going to have to now coin these, like, bottomless terms. Now, fountain of youth is going to be, I guess, when, you know, your anus is extremely wet.
I am not. No, we will not. Because everybody does not have a fountain of youth out there. We will not refer to that. Well, you know what? Let me say that. Everybody does have a fountain of youth. They just don't know how to make their fountain of youth work yet.
Yes, that's you'll all. Have to talk about it on one episode where you're like teaching them how to trigger that fountain of youth.
Again, catch the book coming soon. Okay. It'll be on your local. It'll be on your local Barnes and Noble shelf. And I'll put it on iTunes as an Apple as an ebook. Okay.
Oh wow, that is interesting. I can't wait to see that book tour.
Look, just anus on the front screen of the book.
Oh my gosh, the visual. Okay. So either way, The Hills is coming back. I'm really excited about it. But rumor has it that Lauren Conrad is not coming back though.
I know. I saw that, and it's like it sucks, but at the same time. Do we really need her right now?
I'm though? Over it. Like, first, no Lauren's back on Insecure, and now no Lauren Conrad on the Hills. Like, what is life?
Well, one, we don't need Lawrence because we got Daniel, Team Daniel.
Oh my gosh.
And then two, I'm saying Audrina, Heidi, and Spencer is already going to be enough screen time. And then, and like I said, with Justin Bobby, I'm just waiting for his antics and his fucking nigga shit to come back on TV. So I think that's enough for me.
It is.
Because again, Lauren just was, don't get me wrong, though again, Lauren was my favorite, but she's just a regular, degular girl. Like, she just happened to be just popular, just cause she, for her, but just for her chill, laid back personality. That's it.
I liked her. She was the star of the show.
She was, but again, she wasn't special.
I mean, she was kind of the glue that kept them all together. Like, she was the only storyline I really cared about.
But again, that's cause she was just the girl next door.
Whitney was boring as fuck to me, though. Like, the fact that you love Whitney on the Hills. Whitney was so boring to me. Like, she was so bland.
But for me, Whitney had that model look, though. And it's like, for me, Whitney never saw her true potential. Like, Whitney could have been that bitch. Like, she could have been.
Yeah, she was gorgeous. She was tall.
Like, yeah, she had the full look, but the girl just did not want a model. But she wanted to work in fashion behind the scenes. But it's like, Whitney, girl, you could be making a better check than this. Girl, you could go ahead and get that.
I didn't like Whitney on the Hills, but when she got her own spinoff, The City, I was obsessed with that show. And I was obsessed with her. That was my introduction to Olivia Palermo, who I like. Still stand for, like, I love her. She is she was the villain on that show as well, but I loved her. Like, she was such like a bitch, but she was so stylish and like
she was that girl too. Yeah. Look, I'll give Olivia her.
She's still that girl.
She is.
So yeah, that's crazy. The Hills. I cannot wait to see like how it's evolved and like I'm super excited.
Hopefully it comes out early next year because I'm ready to subscribe. Well, at least after Insecure goes off, I'm ready to subscribe.
Okay, speaking of Insecure, I know, like, I feel like I want to just, like, go over, like, a recap. We're only on, like, the third episode, right?
Yeah.
Because we've yet to talk about Insecure at all. And
we have not.
Like, first and foremost, I can tell, like, the production is lit. Like, the way it's being shot is just, like, sickening. It's, like, the production of it is amazing.
And that's the thing that I really give to the show. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go for it.
This show, but, like, we educate production. One thing I just had to give about this show, they really make Black people look good on TV, baby. As far as, like, I mean, like, just the skin, just how our colors truly show up in light. Like, they do a good representation on their production team. Because, like, say if you look at other shows, like, we just don't look that good as far as, like, a light.
What do you mean? On Love & Hip Hop? I feel like
as far as, like, photography.
Oh.
No, like, again, if you pay attention to it, like, just the way that the light is casted on us, it shows our skin off better than shows who are not heavily Black focused.
Yeah.
And they don't really focus on
Black
skin presence on TV.
Right, so they be having bitches looking ashy.
Ashy as fuck. While we're on here, that melanin is popping every episode of Insecure. When I tell you, Molly's skin be popping. Issa's skin be popping. Daniel, chocolate ass skin be. Look at the elbows. That's how you know when they do right by the people. All, the elbows.
I don't know, sis. I think Daniel looks a little ashy in some frames. Honestly, I'll still be like, okay.
He ain't never looked ashy, but besides when he was eating Issa Kitty Cat, his face got dry.
My gosh. Okay. So the show started. Boom. No Lawrence, which I'm like, okay, you know. But I will say, here we are a couple episodes in. I will say that Daniel. I don't know why you ride so hard for him, because Daniel is definitely a fuck nigga, as much as you want to talk about a fuck nigga.
I love Daniel.
How dare you fuck another bitch while my bitch is in the living room? Like, I would have, whatever.
But again, to be fair, like I said, and again, don't get me wrong, he still is wrong, but at the same time, one, that's not her nigga, nor is he her bitch. Two, they're friends, and she's staying on his couch for free.
Okay,
so that nigga is free.
I don't give a fuck. That is so disrespectful.
She never said nothing about it, because again, as Daniel said, girl, and again, don't get me wrong, Daniel be playing wishy-washy too. But Issa, you be running this boy, like he said.
That's what I was about to say.
You were his itch. You were his itch. That well, he was your itch. You had to scratch. So, girl, low key. He should be fucking all kind of bitches for you for that line, girl. Cause look, I like, damn, Issa, do I fuck with the line, girl? That was kind of dirty. What you said, did him like that. So again, not to say it's payback, but you had to understand like the circumstances. again, that's not your dude, girl. And you say him for free.
I get
like,
it.
But do you expect him to just be out there just fucking outside of his house?
I mean, no. Why can't he go to their house? Clearly, they show him at her house one day.
He pays perfectly good rent at his house. And girl, as we all know, rent show ain't cheap, baby.
Okay.
Especially out in L.A.
It's definitely not.
So off of all that rent, I'm fucking all up and through this $1,400 apartment I'm paying for, baby. No shade either.
Okay.
But girl, I love you.
Right.
But this nut about to be caught on this chair, this refrigerator. Look, everywhere.
What is wrong with you? The passion fuel behind your words anytime you talk about, like, sex and, like, body fluids is just, like, astonishing. It's like you become, it's almost poetic.
I make it sound natural.
It's poetic.
Others make it sound disgusting.
It's beautiful.
I make sex sound beautiful.
It's
thank
beautiful.
You.
It's poetry, honestly.
Thank you, girl.
But now Issa is starting to get on my nerves a little bit because at the end of the day, like, you can't be doing this back and forth. So you told the nigga you didn't want to, you know, do anything, but then you admit to him that you still have feelings, and then you have sex dreams about him. So when he decides to go down and eat the box, now you're like, this doesn't feel right. Bitch, okay. Like, I was literally getting so much anxiety watching this last episode. I'm like, you know what, Issa, I cannot do this with you. I'm not doing this. If you don't get your shit together, I cannot watch the show. Like, honestly, I'm too invested emotionally.
But you know, I understood it, though. And I'm saying, though, like I said, I don't know if I could have stopped him from getting my pussy out like that. The way he went in was gonna grip, like, ooh, you was ready. You was calling. Yes, well, you know, boy, hit the bowl, grab a spoon. Yes, but no.
Oh, my God.
I get her, though, because, and again, same way she dogged him out in season one with the whole, like, you know, you would have said, I had the scratch line. He dogged her out this third episode, when he was talking about somehow, and again, Issa had already expressed that as an insecurity of hers to him. So for him to use her insecurity that she expressed to him in a vulnerable state to say that, oh, well, you just out here just using me because I'm somebody else that got your back. And as far as you don't even have passion for your job or whatever, it's like, oh, really, nigga? So that's how you feel? Yeah, I got your ass. Like, I would, if I was Issa, I would have sat right, like I told you earlier, I'd have sat right in that bed. And I gave him two pieces of word because he was feeling bad, and you would have sat there and felt bad all night long.
You're not supposed to weaponize your vagina and use it as against people. But I feel like this.
Been used that night.
Listen, I'm a little over Issa's storyline, to be honest. I want to shout out to my bitch, Molly. Molly is the real MVP. This bitch is getting her coin. She is making money, and she fucking somebody else, nigga. And it's just like, you know what? Sis, I live for you. Because listen, I don't have time for these full-time problems. I mean, on top of the fact, I mean, the fact she gave him a key to her apartment, I'm just like, okay, sis, you know, you slipping on your pimping.
Yes.
But outside of that, I'm like, you know what? Molly is fucking goals, okay? Because fuck that.
I love Molly. Like I said, I love Molly, what she's here for this year. Her know better, do better, you know, what I'm trying to be on myself, you know, it's hard, but we out here trying. As we out here adulting, but no, Molly, that's my girl. But I said, though, I still want her to fuck around with Joe, because I love just how they expose polyamory on the show. Because again, you know, that's something I want to indulge in, polyamory. So it's like, I love just the dynamics of how this show is like exposing us to just the app of what we think is abnormal, but it can actually be normality. So I'm like, I love that. And then just also with her, I feel like I can relate to Molly in her new job atmosphere, where she's come from a white world into a black world that does not have the amenities of the white world. It's like, ooh, I don't mean to be picky or bougie, baby, but ooh. Just life over here was so much different.
All I will say about this is I love her and Dro's little thing, but I don't know if it's a direct reflection of polyamory, because we still don't know if Dro is lying about it, but it is.
But no, we do, because I remember the first episode he called the wife, though. Well, the wife called him and said he was at Molly's place.
Yeah, but he don't know they fucking. He think they're friends, bitch. So
no, I don't think she think that. Again,
I don't know. We haven't proved the wife is not
a girl. But girl, come on, let's be honest. if I call my nigga at 8 o'clock in the morning, because I'm assuming it was that early, and he said he at Monty house, girl, I'm thinking, well, what you doing at Monty house? Because I would ask, well, what you doing there? Because you showed up in my bed last night. Look, well, what you doing there, nigga? Look.
Okay.
And again, reason why I want them to really further explore this more, because I feel like, again, people just have the misconception of what polyamory
is. Again, like, I agree, and I'm for polyamory. It's something I'm open to exploring as well. However, we don't know if that's what it is. We just know that's what Dre is saying, and it could be a case of side bitch, nigga ain't shit. So it's like, either way, I'm here for it either way. Polyamory or you being a side bitch. But either way, it's just like, we don't know which one to believe, but either way, I'm here for you, Molly. Keep going, girl.
Look, and can we just give a side note shout out to Kelly? Because though we only saw her one episode this season, my bitch has already stolen my heart already, because she has already gotten Issa together several times, and I just love it.
I know she's kind of rude, though.
No, like, I see, like, if I could be a perfect character on that show, I would just be a mixture between Molly and Kelly. Because Kelly, she come with them one-liners, girl, and you can't say it don't hit. Like, though it can't
So who rude, am I on the show?
Huh?
Who am I on the show?
Oof. You know, I'm going to have to give you the pregnant girl.
Oh, bitch. I mean, I am blonde currently, but I mean, no.
You can't be like her from time to time with your prudishness.
Wow. I'm prude? That's interesting.
Cool. You can be.
Good
to
know.
Excuse me. Well, see, let me take that back, because you've come a long way. So you're explorative now.
I feel like, I remember like last season, I feel like I was Issa, because she had just got done with like a long-term relationship. She was trying to have a whole face and rotate, and that was so me at that moment. And
that I can see.
I was extremely awkward and just like her. I remember even going on like a date here when I first moved to LA, and I was so uncomfortable. It was my first time using a dating app, and I was so uncomfortable, and I was just sitting there, and he was like, are you okay? And I'm like, I was so uncomfortable. He was like, you give me, like, I made an Issa Rae comparison. He was like, oh, I can see that. You're giving me kind of like awkward black boy a little bit. It's cute. And it just made me more uncomfortable. And I'm just like, get me the fuck out of here. Like, I had to pee. It was a mess. But I think that, you know, that I was Issa like last season. This season, I feel like I'm Molly, because, you know, I feel like I've grown up, getting a hold of my finances, and I'm also fucking other people's man. Just kidding.
Goals.
I'm totally joking. But no, I just like Molly, because she's just super like boss badass, you know? Fuck these niggas. So, I mean, yeah.
Is she really about fuck them niggas though?
I mean, she got her key back.
Look, she did get the key back, but look, we don't know if she done with them yet. It's just episode 3, and we ain't seen about episode 1. So look, I'm waiting to see if Joe gonna pop back up or not.
I mean, definitely gonna pop back up and eat her box, and like, you know, she gonna get what she need, and they gonna send it to his wife.
Speaking of that, though, one thing that I did notice, and I have to give a shout out, and I think it's only because, again, as you said, I'm a sexual person, so I pay attention to the sex scenes very
of course you do.
One thing I get to the show, and again, kind of goes back to what I said earlier, I appreciate that Issa puts on to these fuck niggas. Y'all need to be out here giving head to these bitches. I still feel like niggas is not out here giving head to these, to a lot of these females, even to niggas who don't eat gay men who don't eat other gay men's ass.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Look, it's the same. Head is head. Look, grow the fuck up. It's 2018. Live your best life. You know, somebody once told me they thought they was gonna get pink eye from doing it. I just had to laugh. Look, you all don't get peppers dirty. Just make sure the bitch is clean before you go down and eat it and do your job. Look.
PSA.
2018. Put your mouth on something or get the fuck out the house. And that's that.
That's our PSA for today. If you ain't licking, you ain't sticking.
All right. Let it be known.
All right. Wow. Somehow we got back to sex. Okay. So.
Don't just always do it right.
I just have to be ready with you. So I got to get ready.
Okay, Tammy.
Right.
But in the midst of that, it's a great segue into my topic for the day. So my topic is gonna have to deal with religion.
We're actually going there, people. So divisive.
You know, from sex to religion, two great topics.
That's what you call multidimensional.
Girl, what can I say about myself? Just a regular New York chick. But no, so my topic really has to like do, and again, I feel like just at the age that we're at, it's definitely something that's relatable to all. And it's just losing your religion or faith, whichever one you go by, on your journey to self-acceptance and love. And it's like, for me, a reason why I wanted to bring this up is because like, I feel like for me, I'm at a state in life where, you know, I'm really yearning for, and again, not to say that I don't have a relationship with my higher being, which it is God. But again, for those who don't, well, because I'm trying to understand that, you know, everybody does not practice in a Christian faith. So for those who practice in Catholicism or Hinduism, Jewish, you know, if you can relate, hey, cool. But I know in my upbringing, I've had a lot of friends who have, in the midst of trying to discover their true happiness, have lost faith or just their belief in a higher being due to people who are associated with that faith. So just initially, I want to ask you, just have you ever felt like you've lost sight of your faith, or have you just lost faith in general just due to people who associate with the religion that you've known during your lifetime?
Yes. I thought this was a good topic because I think we're on the opposing, you know, views when it comes to that. I am not like super religious when it comes to structured religion. I think everyone who knows me knows that, but I am extremely spiritual. And I personally don't play into the politics of structured religion. And I think that's the difference. And I think the thing is, I guess you're supposed to, if you're going to follow a, you know, certain level of faith, and the politics and all of the extra things is something I just don't really agree with, and things that don't really resonate with me. So I'm not gonna say I lost faith altogether, but I think that I ultimately found what works for me. I think that oftentimes people who are extremely religious, they basically believe because they were told to believe, and they don't know why they believe the things they believe, and they just do because that's what they were told. And I think at a very young age, I've always been extremely inquisitive, so asking questions is something that comes natural to me. And when I have certain questions about certain, you know, policies and things that you can't answer, you can't give me an answer, that is questionable to me. I think that I was someone who started to, you know, just seek answers for certain things that I was not getting. And I'm someone who, I'm extremely logical in most of my thoughts and my views, and, you know, I believe heavily in science and logic and all of those things. So, if, you know,
so Caucasian.
Oh, wow. Come on. Okay, sure. Let's go with that. But no, I think that I'm extremely spiritual, though. And I do believe in a higher being. I definitely believe in God. So don't think that I'm atheist. I'm starting to think my family thinks I'm atheist, though. Like, I really think my family and people around me think I'm atheist, because, like, the way that I speak when it comes to my faith is very, very, like, different. But I do believe in a higher being. I believe in God and all that. But I do believe in a personal relationship with God is what's important. I don't believe in the extra and the policies and, like, the politics when it comes to structured religion. And I think that people, a lot of those things are definitely sociological. And that's my, you know, problem with them.
See, for me, like I said, don't get me wrong, I hear your perspective, and I respect it. But I don't know, just for me, it's like always been like, and because again, don't get me wrong, I haven't always been one to, like, I guess, agree with the structure behind the, you know, well, I ain't gonna say Americanized religion, but just religion in general. But, like, you know, as you were kind of hitting on, as far as, like, you were an inquisitive person who always had questions about some things, I was the same. But yet for me, you know, and I guess another reason that kind of sparked this interest in me for this topic was because, again, I'm just a podcast junkie now. And I was listening to, actually, Molly, Yvonne,
Orgy.
The last name.
Orgy. Yeah, Orgy. How can't you pronounce Orgy? You sexologist. Okay, but go ahead.
Because it's spelled African. Okay. It's not spelled the regular American Orgy, okay? Yes. Excuse me, Nigerian. She's Nigerian.
Okay.
Let me be socially correct. But politically correct, excuse me. But no, I was listening to her podcast, and she was just saying, like, how for her, she has a true discernment when it comes down to actually hearing God, because she has, like, a personal relationship with him, and she has a true discernment, like, being able to, like, when she prays and questions things, she's able to hear that. And, like, for me, I've always had that, like, yearning to, like, well, how come I can never, like, because I've always heard, like, people can, like, have talks with God, but it's, like, I guess I've always been one to, like, you know, think very, like, literal. Like, say, oh, well, I ain't never heard him talk to me before.
Same.
It's like, but in the same time, it's like, I've always had gut feelings that have been, like, a channeling force. Like, nothing that I've ever thought of, but, like, words that have, like, come up out of just nowhere. It's like, I felt it was his presence, but I haven't necessarily known. But as I said, as I've gotten older, and, like, I've said, I'm 3 more weeks about to hit 27. It's like, I really feel like just an urge and like a calling from him to like really just like get closer to him. Cause like, I really feel like it was definitely like help out to achieve my destiny as far as what I really need to be pursuing as far as my purpose.
I mean, like, yeah, that's like, interesting though. I think that the thing about it, I come from a very religious family. And like, I think that most of my experience has came, most of my, my views have came from my actual experience, like growing up in the church of religion as a Christian and going to church. Okay. So I've seen the culture. I've seen very hands-on, like the things, and there are plenty of things to me that that's just struck like, you know, a chord. So that's ultimately what has made me become, you know, the person I am today. And also I do believe in having a spiritual life, but I also believe in logic. And I think that some people become so indulged into religion and spirituality, they forget all logic and reality. At least I can, from certain family members and things like that. But also, one thing I will say is that when it comes to religion, one thing that I've always had an issue with is the, when it comes to people trying to get you to walk in this lifestyle or close lifestyle to God, because I think, I even asked my mom one day, I was like, well, if your life is so like amazing when it comes to like being saved and being extremely Christian, it's so amazing, it's so lit and it's so great, and you know you're going to heaven, you have all, it's almost like, you know, you're so sure and your life is so good, why isn't that good enough? Why do you feel the need to kind of recruit others or condemn others to this lifestyle? When it's like, well, I don't understand that part of it. And she was saying, well, basically, whenever you are saved, you, your job is to call other people to God. And I was like, well, the thing about it that bothers me is the things that they use when it comes to being able to recruit someone or have God, them called to God, they use manipulation, they lose lack of knowledge, they use fear. And knowing the backstory and the history of how Christianity was given to us as slaves, it seems very similar to me that you would use manipulation, fear, lack of knowledge to get someone to do what you want them to do. And it's things like that to me that's just like, maybe I'm too conscious and maybe I'm thinking too deeply about it. And I'm just like, well, no. And also when you take a look back, I do think that when it comes to structured religion, I feel as though the rules and all of the policies are a bit unrealistic. And I think that, it, again, it just seems as a way to control people more so than it is for a spiritual awakening to me.
Now, do you mind if I interject for a
second? No, go for it.
Because I know you said something about when you said, like, you asked your mom about your religion or whatever. Like, you said you felt like it was a recruitment process,
right,
so to speak. And see, like, for me, I get when you say that. Like, you know, like you said, like, when people are, like, saying, well, how do you get people to join your religion? She said, you have to go out there and seek for it. But for me, you're like, you know, I get her perspective on it. But for me, like, you know, I feel like how I'm able to get people across to, again, just my religion. Because, again, I don't feel like I have to recruit people to join Christianity. Because, again, that's not what I'm here to do. But, however, I think it's easy for people to see the good in my God based off just how I live my life, and not saying that, like, oh, everybody out here that has faith is out here living a good life. No, that's not the thing, what I'm saying. But just if you see some people, how they walk around, and it's like the people, when they come up and see me or whatever, like at work, and they say, DeJohn, why do you always smile? It's just like the joy that I have. Like I said, baby, it becomes out of nowhere sometimes. It's just, and again, I'm a firm believer. Like I said, I don't know. I've grown up with a lot of PK kids. And like I said, I'm a Southern kid. So I've grown up with just like the notion of having that mustard seed of faith. So that's always just really gotten me through. Like it really exudes just through my personality. Like I said, when people like hear me laugh, hear me like play around, you can tell it's in me because, again, I still make references to it. Though, again, I'm sarcastic. I may make crude sex jokes. But, again, at the core of who I am, you're always going to know that, hey.
It's God. You're Phaedra Parks.
That boy. No, I ain't going to say Phaedra Parks now. But that boy will give him a praise if I need to, because, baby, he has gotten me through.
That's awesome. And I'm Southern as well. And, I mean, we grew up from the same place. So, it's like, yeah. I definitely grew up with a lot of
I don't say it like to just say Southern is only one, but again,
well, no, Southern, we are known to be like the Southern Bible Belt. We're known for slow progression. So what I will say
is slow progression. We are not known for that.
Yes, we are. So at the end of the day, I think like being from the South, yes, I think those are the values that we are taught and we hold so dearly onto. But also, I think a big part of it is not the, I don't know, like when I think of Christianity specifically, and I've said this to family members and things like that with a lot of the things where it's like, the rules that they live by and things that they do and don't do and have such a strict lifestyle, it sounds like fear to me. It sounds like fear of not knowing what will happen. Me being in LA, my mom is fearful of what will happen to me. She's fearful that I'm going to get caught up in sex, drugs, and whatever. A lot of things, a lot of times it sounds like, don't do this or don't go there and you can't do this. No, think about it from a spiritual standpoint of like, don't do this and don't indulge into premarital sex because something bad will happen. And if you go out here and you don't have God, then something bad is going to happen. When the truth of the matter is, bad things and good things happen to people, whether you're saved or not. And it's like things like that where it seems like fear to me. I don't know. It just does. And then also, I think that, like I said, growing up, I know a lot of about really, I think I just internalized a lot of actions and things when it comes to people who are religious. I also come from a place where, you know, the narrative has been to don't do anything without God. Pray for what you want and wait for God to do it. Wait for him to act.
Well, look, that goes a part to my next question. So before you go fully into it,
okay,
do you feel that, like, because again, I know I haven't really experienced it, but I'll go more to my answer later, but do you feel as though in your household growing up, religion was weaponized against you?
Yes, all the time. I feel like, but I think that's the experience, honestly, for blame.
Well, see, for me, I haven't had that experience. I can't say in my, like, immediate household.
Right.
I had that experience. Now,
but it depends on how religious your family is, too, and your parents are. My mom is extremely religious. It's crazy. She's extremely religious, and my brother and I are not very religious at all, so I think it's crazy. But my mom is the most religious person I know. So, yes, I feel like oftentimes that was the case, and it was, like, oftentimes, oh, my God, I remember being so upset one day. Like, I was in high school, and it was before I got my first car, and I had to go to work, and I used to drive my mom's car to work sometimes, like, and me and my mom did not get along. Like, we would argue all the time because, like...
Oh, shout out to Vera. I love my Vera.
I love my mom, too. But we would argue all the time because she was the queen of just, like, if something happened, just you'd be like, it's because of this. See, God didn't like when you did this. And it would frustrate me so much. So one day I was headed to work, and we got into this big argument before I left. And I was headed to work. I drive her car, and in our driveway coming out, it was like a ditch on both sides. Like, literally. So you have to be very, very strategic about how you backed up to get out of the driveway. And I ended up, you know, backing into one of the front wheel, went into one of the ditches, and the car was literally up, like, in an angle. And I ended up getting out the car and knocking on the door. I ended up knocking on the door, and I was like, after we just got into this huge argument, and I'm like, look, this just happened. And she's like, see, when you're disobedient, you don't listen to your mother, and that's what I'm saying, God is gonna, and I was so annoyed, like, but she would always do that, and that's another problem I have with structured religion, especially Christianity. I feel as though people constantly tailor religion, Christianity, and the word to their benefit all the time. When it's supposed to be just, if it's just, then that should just be it. But I find that people use it and they tailor it to their benefit all the time. And it was to me, it was just, it's so many things. It seems like so much manipulation to me that I could not help but notice it. I would internalize all of these things. Like, I don't know. It just seems very strange to me.
And see, that's so crazy because, again, my total upbringing is, like, I won't say as far different from yours, but it has, I guess, different key components. Like you said, you grew up with your mother being very focused in religion. Now, my grandmother, she was my main focus in religion. Like, whenever I would go visit her, she would always have me in church. But, like, whenever I was with my dad and my grandfather, you know, they have like, and again, those are like my two main support systems. Like, shout out to all the real dads out there. But they are like my main support system because, like, with them, my grandfather and my dad, they never really believed in the whole, you know, church system because, again, they're kind of like you. Like, there's a lot of false prophets in the church, and they just never wanted to be subscribed to that. But they got me in the habit of, like, just reading for myself and, like, knowing the book for myself and also, like, building my own relationship with him. So that's, I think, why I have a whole total different perspective.
Well, same. I think our views are kind of similar in the way that we do have an individual relationship. We believe in that. I think that spirituality and religion is something very, very personal. I had a family member recently ask me, like, could they pray with me? And I was like, to be honest, no, I'm going to decline. Because to be honest, I think that I just believe so strongly.
So why would you say that?
I said no, because to me, religion and spirituality is something so personal and individual that I don't feel the need to share that with someone else. Like, it's my...
But even if it's like for a good, like they weren't trying to, like, again, and I feel like, and again, I'm just asking as a devil's advocate though.
Right.
Cause like, that's like, say, like, if, like, say, for instance, me or Jameson, we wanted to pray with you just cause, again, we as your friends, we always want what's best for you. And it's, again, it's not to say that we're praying cause we feel like something's going bad in your life, but again, just because, again, it's something that I guess brings us peace. We hope that, again, it can help bring peace into our friends. Like, for instance, again, not saying that we kind of put this upon you, but
I wouldn't.
Again, it's as a, also you wouldn't. Wow, that's crazy.
Because I think y'all would be praying on my downfall because the haters always do. Just kidding. Girl. Oh, no, I'm joking.
Ain't nobody thinks about you like that.
I'm joking. I wouldn't say, I'm not that stern where it's like, okay, but with me and this particular family member, we've had a lot of extensive conversations about religion and we have different views on different things. So I didn't feel comfortable. I feel like it's something so personal that if you want to pray for me, I feel like you can do that. But praying with me and like, I just think it's something so personal that I don't feel the need to share that with another individual. Because I think everyone's relationship is individual and it's personal. One thing I will say though, this is so funny. So my roommate is my cousin as well, and she's extremely religious as well, like my mom, like my family. And we have a lot of conversation about things, and we don't always agree or have the same views, which is fine. So one day I was coming home, and like we're in the elevator, and like I started talking to myself out loud, like in the way of like, I don't know if you were aware of like the Mercury retrograde everyone was talking about. The Mercury retrograde everyone was recently discussing this on social media. So it was basically something scientific, the eclipsing of like the sun or the moon, something with science recently. And it's been like the last 2 weeks. And basically it's supposed to be affecting energy. It affects technology. It affects, you know, your energy between people. And I didn't want to believe
maybe that's why I'm having a bad time at work right now.
Well, it ended like, maybe almost a week now. I don't know. But I remember being like, I didn't believe it. At first, I'm like, I don't know. But those 2 weeks were shitty as fuck, honestly. They were really shitty. And I started to believe it. I'm like, damn. So I'm like coming home and I'm just like, and thinking out loud. And I'm like, this fucking retrograde got me fucked up. And my cousin looks at me. She's like, don't tell me you believe in that. And I'm like, science? Yes, I believe in science. That's what I said. And she was like laughing. And she was like, that's just like saying you believe in like, you know, the zodiac and astrology. And I said, well, let's be clear. I don't live by astrology and zodiac, but anyone who knows me knows that I do believe there are truth. There's some truth to it. I do. I was like, you know, so yeah. And then she was like laughing. She just found it so comical. And she was like, you know, you just believe in stuff that you do. How are you gonna believe in something you just never even? And I'm like, well, we're not gonna go there because you believe in plenty of things without any logical explanation why you believe in it. And I was like, so we're not gonna, you know, go back and forth because I can understand this can get very divisive. And she was like laughing and found it so funny. And she was just like, oh, what's up? What do you mean? Cause I never seen like God or like, and I said, at the end of the day, I wasn't trying to challenge her beliefs or her views. I think what I was trying to do is get her to understand the logic of why you believe what you believe. Why is it so hard for you to understand how somebody believes what they believe? I said, so you believe in something you've never actually seen or don't have any logical explanation or proof. And let's be clear, like the sun, and because that's something to do with the sun. I'm like, the sun, like we see it. We know it's real. It's not a myth. We see it. And to think that it's up there and it doesn't affect anything is like funny to me, because we even have like solar energy. Like, we clearly know, you think it's just up there fucking chilling, like not affecting nothing. You don't think it affects your energy. You don't think it affects electricity. You don't think it affects anything. And I was like, so if I could believe in science, which we have logical proof of science, planets, all of these things, and you believe in things that you've never even seen, I said, I don't understand why it's so hard for you to understand it then. Like, why I would, even if you don't agree.
And you gotta do some conversation out here in these streets.
And yeah, she was just like laughing, and I just thought it was funny. And what I found even more funny is that we were both laughing at each other's beliefs as if we were the one that were right. I was like, this is so interesting to me. And I was just like, basically like, you know, I wasn't trying to challenge your views or whatever. And I said, I guess we're just both going off of things that we failed. You know God is real because you failed him. I believe in the power of energy because I felt energy. I can feel it, you know? So I said, it's the same thing. So I don't understand why it's so hard for people that are extremely religious to, honestly, to sit down and break down your beliefs and why you believe what you believe. Because the truth of the matter is, you don't even know why you believe what you believe. You just know that you do. So it's like, so don't be so quick to laugh at someone else's or downplay someone else's beliefs when there's actually, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just funny to me. It was all funny to me. And I was just like, you know, I respect people who have different views than me. And religion is something super divisive that you aren't really supposed to talk about, because, like I said, it's so individual and there's so many nuances when it comes to it. It depends on your environment, where you were raised, your actual, the different denominations of Christianity and religion. Like, it's a lot. So it's like, how do you really know that what you believe is the end all be all? But at the end of the day, like, I'm not here to challenge anyone's views or their beliefs. I just know that I feel as though I have a great balance of both logic and spirituality. And I can't say that I can completely disregard logic and science and just be like, oh, well, I'm just going to believe this, even though it makes no actual sense to me.
Well, let me ask you this question and then I'm going to round it up.
Okay.
But, because again, has to do with you and your progressive state of mind.
Okay.
But do you feel that, like, you know, in this progressive world that we live in now, that a lot of people are losing the need for a higher power or faith?
I don't think that's the case. I think that people are now relying and leaning on things that help them. And I honestly think with life, it's very difficult for everyone. So whatever you use to cope and to get through it, and I honestly believe that religion is a huge coping mechanism, honestly. That's your, what, and also everything does not work for everyone. And I think that people who are oftentimes very religious and it works for them, they think that, oh, I feel so great about this and this worked for me. I believe that everyone should know this feeling, when someone can literally grow up in the same household and have that experience and still it not do for you what it's done for them. And that's my experience. Religion has done a lot for my mom, and I have had that same effect on me. One thing I was kind of going into before was, I was saying that I come from a place of, again, the rhetoric of, like, you pray for the things that you want and you wait for God to provide them. You wait for God. You don't do anything with the God. You don't make a move. You don't do anything. You have to ask God before every step you take. And to me, again, sounds like fear. But I also, I was never taught to go for the things that you want. And you are a powerful individual. You have a lot of control over your life. Not, you know, it's like, it's contradicting. So as I get older, I've developed this mindset of, like, being more of a go-getter and just like, you know what? The things in life that I want, I'm going to go for them. And if it was up to, you know, my upbringing, it would be like, no, don't do that. Don't move until God says move. Because you don't know. It's just so contradicting. And I feel as though, like, you know, it kind of holds us back as people sometimes, because I don't believe that you can just pray for what you want and it's going to fall out the clear blue sky. And I think that sometimes people do believe that.
Yeah. But I think it's a common misconception. It is. Because I feel like, for me, I don't think, again, when I hear him say, I guess, you know, you must wait. Oh, like, oh, wait for your things. What'd you say now?
You pray for the things that you want and you wait for God to do them. Like, don't try to get them on your own. You literally wait for God. And I think some people take it very literal.
Yeah, but again, yeah, okay, yes, that's the thing. Like, I think, like you said, sometimes I take it just too far, too little, because, again, I think that some people, like, are blind to the fact that, you know, he puts you through obstacles so that, like, that's part of your weight. And I think many people just fail to realize that, oh, they think it's always going to be sunny days, and fail to realize that, you know, through these hardships, that's what makes you better prepared for these hard times. I mean, better prepared for your, like, true reward. because again, you probably want to appreciate it more. But again, that's just my perspective on it, though.
You know what it reminds me of when I hear people like have that rhetoric of like, you know, you don't do anything with a guy, you wait on God, and you don't move, and he's everything, he provides everything. Again, and I hate to continue to go back to the beginning of Christianity and how it was given to us, but it reminds me of slaves.
The white man.
No, it reminds me of slaves. And they're them leaning on that so much and truly believing that God is what brought them through those tough times and made it better. So, and I think that, again, the fact that as Black people, we were not giving, we weren't taught to read and write, but the only piece of literature we were given was the Bible. And I hate to be so fucking, like, you know, logical in a sense, but it just makes so much sense that I cannot deny that, you know, it makes sense. And I don't think anyone else can. So I think that, again, people who are breaking away from being so hell-bent on the structure of religion are just becoming more conscious of, like, you know what, this kind of seems, if you really internalize it, it does seem like a sense of control and something used to control a group of people. So that's just how I view it. And I think that it holds people back because they hold so closely onto it. I feel as though I have the perfect balance, like I said, of, you know, of my spirituality and also reality. One of my favorite books that I'm finishing up reading now is by Devon Franklin, who is Megan Good's husband. It's called The Hollywood Commandments. And it breaks down basically the intersectionality of, you know, living in the secular world, as he calls it, and being religious and understanding that they do have to intertwine at some point. And I think that a lot of times, especially in the South, I feel as though the South itself has created this paradigm of just traditionalism and religion. And it almost feels like they created this paradigm of just like shutting themselves off to the rest of the world because they're afraid of what's out there. And that's how it feels to me. It really feels that way to me. Like when I talk to family members that are from the South, and they, if you talk about anything that's not what they know, they are fearful of it. And it's the devil and it's spirits and it's not, you know, and it's like, well, no, this is actually reality. And you have to realize that you are living in one part of the world, literally, that even when you go up north or out west or whatever, not even just the US, the world is so big. And I don't think that that religion is
very
tailored to be
that little podunk town you stay in.
Yeah, I don't think that it's tailored to an entire like universe in the world. I think it's tailored to their experience.
True. Like, I feel like I want to go on with this conversation so much more, but maybe I save for part two because we're running on an hour and a half.
Yeah, I mean, and it's layered. It's layered. So that's just my take on it. Yeah, that's a really interesting topic of conversation. And I've had this conversation with a lot of people actually recently, and it's really interesting to see everyone's views.
Yeah, because I feel like it was just very, because again, like I try to tell you, I love that we can just bring up topics that can relate to everybody. Like I said, I've had a lot of PK friends in my life, but again, I've had a lot of friends who, again, gay men, straight women to straight men that have, like I said, just have just due to this, their own self-discoveries and like just the path that they chose to take in life, they've lost out on family members and other cohorts just because of their loss in their faith due to them. And it's like, it's sad that they had to go through this. And like, I don't know, I guess for me, it's like somebody who has never truly felt like, well, I can't say truly never felt weaponized by it, but I know, I guess, that my relationship with him is way bigger than somebody ever trying to weaponize it to me.
Right.
That I just want to share the joy, again, not ever push it on anybody, but just let them know, like, if you want a fresh perspective, like, hey, I always hope that, you know, I can be somebody that gives a sound ear. And again, like I said, I'm never here to just, like, pressure anything to anybody. But again, just have something that just gives you peace, whether it be a religion, whether it be your blunt, whether it be your coffee, whatever.
Right.
Have something that brings you peace, because work out here stressing us out. Fuck niggas out here stressing us out because they ain't eating the box. And
oh my God. From religion back to the box. So yes, I agree.
Full circle.
Do whatever works for you as an individual. And I think that's another thing where you, I think that growing up in the South and being in that religious state, you were never, you're never open to explore the possibilities of other things. So since moving here, I've taken on meditation, I've taken on yoga, I've taken on the power of energy.
Yes. And, yoga and, when I come visit.
Yes, perfect. But those are things that are like, ooh, like what? One of my friends even said that, like, you definitely, as long as you don't start doing like the stones and stuff like that, that's crazy. And I was like, no, I really want to go shopping, like chakras. And I really want to go shopping for chakras. I really want to go shopping for them. For and I they were just like, right. And they were just like, oh my gosh, no, that stuff is crazy. And this is like, see, well, you're not even open to exploring those things. And well, I think all of these things are things that are beneficial to you as an individual. The power of energy is also real. So we're not going to say that you just ignore everything. Like energy doesn't exist. There's so many ways for self-healing. There's so many ways for coping. There's so many ways. I don't want to be limited because, you know, this book, like people feel as though like, no, only this way is the only way you can do it.
And no, that's so true. But look, I was going to say, look, well, you can play with the chakra just as long as you don't bring no tarot cards around me because I don't want none of that mess.
I'm going to bring sage when you come. I'm going to make sure I sage everything.
Sage and the grass. Girl, we're going to be feeling real good. All the things are going to be cleansed.
Yes. It's going to be great.
No more fuck niggas for us, girl.
I mean, I already sage, so that's why my life is, you know, fuck nigga free. But
it's not.
I want everyone to experience this level of peace that I have. But no, so really, really good. This is a really good topic. Really, really good episode, yes. I think, for the most part.
And again, sorry for being late this week, people. You know, work has stressed us to the core.
Well, yeah. It's Dejan's fault. But, you know, we're here for you, sis.
You know what? I'll take that. Last time it was your fault.
We're here for you. We're here for you, sis. We're glad that we can be here for you, my love.
Pray
beloved.
For me, love. Pray
beloved.
For me, people. Pray for me.
Beloved, we're going to be praying for you. Did you want to end in a group prayer? Just kidding. Yeah. I was joking.
Everyone bow your head.
Oh, my God. Stop. I was joking. I'm not. You're the last person I want to pray with after you just jump from, like, sex to religion back to sex.
The first person you want to pray with, because at least I'm real with my prayer and God knows my heart.
See, you are literally Phaedra Parks.
Christian, that's going to tell you, yes, I didn't suck a dick last night. And I'm going to praise my God the next morning. Again, not that that's my story, but if it had been my story, I have no problem saying that because, again, I just had that relationship with him. That, again, hey, I do wrong, but again, I try to do better every night. Like Molly, going back to Insecure, I'm trying to know better so I can do better.
That's
people.
Crazy. It's crazy that you brought that up because I don't even want to go into like the intersectionality from religion to sex. But I will say this: I don't believe in depriving myself of things that I want, and from sex to masturbation to all of these things. The fact I never understood the resistance for, like, you know, as an individual, as a human being, like. Sex is so natural. It's literally a part of life. So I never understood, like, not being able to, like, indulge in that or having limitations or restrictions. So that's another thing. It's just, like, it's so
look,
layered.
Girl,
like, when my body is hungry,
much.
I feed it.
Look,
when my body
put that
is
on pause. Okay. Put it on pause. Look.
Okay.
Next episode, The Power of Sex. Tune in. We about to go all the way in on that one. Yes. Look, I'm prepared.
All right.
Part of my dissertation is going to be put in this episode.
Okay. We're going to scale back. All right, guys. So, again, this has been Politically Uncensored. Make sure you guys follow us on social media. Me at Zakori Uncensored. ZKORI Uncensored. And Spicy _ Mustard. It's a good way to keep in contact with us. I love you guys' feedback. Each week, I've been getting, like, amazing feedback. Someone even told me that I've been changing their dating life each week with my podcast and, like, the post.
Come
of my...
on, change the girl's dating life.
I was like,
dating life.
Oh, my God. I think it's awesome. Like, the last thing we talked about, just basically about doing the self-introspective work and also basically asking people about their personal traumas before, like, getting to know them as far as dating.
I really want to ask somebody that question, girl, but I feel like that's such a weird... That's a bold first question. That's someone on the first date, girl.
You should try it. Let me know how it goes.
I'm definitely going to look. Soon as, well, I did just go on a date, but I didn't think to ask that. Damn, I should have asked that question.
So what did you leave with?
Girl, well, we just went to the museum, girl. So I said, ooh, do you like this painting? That's how we live.
Another one of my friends told me it should be one of my first date questions. This sounds kind of problematic, but okay. Is cut or uncut?
Girl, again,
because we're not going there. We're gonna save it. Okay, no. But yes, all right, this has been Politically Uncensored, guys. This has been great. I can't wait to come back and we're gonna have some more great topics. This is good,
yeah.
This is good, Dejan. You did good, great job,
girl. Girl, just like this fountain of youth, it's always good, baby, around here.
Wow, but... So do you want to end with a quote or anything? I listened to The Read, and Kid Fury pretty much said. Feel free to send nudes. So I think that's going to be my closing officially.
Oh, okay. Well, that's your closing? Here's mine. That's the juices for my...
Oh, my God. Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.